I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, more than 40 years in the business and no sign of stopping. A conversation with veteran journalist Ted Koppel is next. But first, a drama about sugarcane, a sitcom or two, and as always, a dose of reality. They all make up this fall's television lineup. It begins rolling out this week. The networks will offer more than 24 new shows to vie for our attention. To help us sort out what's hot, what might be worth a look, and what will drive you to read a book, we're joined by three expert TV watchers. Makisha Madden-Toby is a television critic with the Detroit News. Tanika Ray is a New York correspondent for the TV news magazine Extra. And Eric Deggans is the TV and media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. Welcome, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for having
us. Great to be here.
All right, start your engines. It's time for TV. Eric, do you want to start? Is it worth the wait?
Is it worth the wait? Well, you know, I'm a little more pessimistic than a lot of people. I was quoted by the Associated Press as saying I didn't like any single pilot that was advanced this year.
Are you just a curmudgeon normally?
Or? I am definitely a curmudgeon, but I will say there's a great show called Pushing Daisies on ABC. Okay. It's the pilot that everybody's talking about. It's about this pie maker who, for some reason, has the ability to bring people back from the dead. If he touches them again, they die forever.
Oh, no.
And if he leaves them alive for more than a minute, somebody else has to die. So what happens when he wakes up his childhood sweetheart who was mysteriously killed? And it's a really interesting show. Now, whether they can make a compelling series out of this is a whole other question.
Tanika, what about you? More than 25 new shows. Anything you're excited about?
You know what? I'm a reality freak myself, only because I do get bored with what's on television. They do not sustain your attention. And the thing about the pilots, they have so many months to put it together. It really isn't a barometer for what the series is going to look like. Somebody who's going to suffer from that may be Private Practice, unfortunately, with Kate Walsh from Grey's Anatomy. I don't know if that was the smart move to air the pilot last year, piggybacking on Grey's Anatomy or not. I think people were excited then, but that was 3 or 4 months ago. I think we've forgotten about it, and now nobody seems to care anymore. So we'll see what happens. I'm really excited to see the things, the shows that are going to be mid-season replacements, to be perfectly honest. I'm a Sex and the City fan to no end, and Cashmere Mafia as well as Lipstick Jungle are both going to be premiering in January, so I have a little time to wait.
Okay.
But then there's always those standbys, the America's Next Top Model, The Biggest Loser, those kind of fun shows. But as far as like real dramas and sitcoms, I'm always sitting in the pessimistic chair myself because you just never know.
Interesting. Makisha, the 24 new shows, is that a lot for a new season? Is that a reflection of the fact that last season didn't go so well, or is that normal?
That's pretty standard. It's funny because there are actually more returning shows, which is usually, you know, the smaller amount, or it seems like a lot of shows are either, you know, reserved for the mid-season or they got canceled because of low ratings, and a lot of shows returned this year. So actually this week alone, like 43 or 44 shows are back.
I wanted to talk. Go ahead,
if
Eric.
I could break in real quick, too. I agree. This is actually a surprisingly low number of new shows. Normally we see anywhere from 35 to 38 new shows. But the thing that was remarkable about last year is we had much fewer hits. We had maybe 2 shows that qualified as hits from the new crop last season, even though we have something like 10 or 12 new shows coming back. Even the show that won for the Emmy for Best Comedy, 30 Rock, is not really a hit. It doesn't have a huge viewership, and that's a big problem for the networks.
Yeah, critics' choice and what the public actually likes has always been in different hemispheres. There is a low number, but at the same time, isn't that nice that the studios are finally giving shows more than 3 episodes worth of a chance? 30 Rock isn't a big hit, but it does have the lineage of the SNL cast. And
Saturday Night Live.
Yes, exactly, SNL. We all know the famous story that Seinfeld was not a hit right out the gate. So, you know, sometimes there's hits that need a little bit more time, a little bit more breathing room to sort of spark a fire.
Oh, yeah. Cheers and All in the Family, too.
CBS has a new family power drama called Kane. I want to play a clip.
What was that man at the park?
Business.
He looked strange.
Just some stuff with the cane workers.
That's it. Came over from Cuba in 61. He had a record before he left. I got to keep him away from my family.
You can hear all the themes right there. It's fronted by television veteran Jimmy Smits.
Cuban dynasty.
A Cuban dynasty.
I call it Cuban Dallas.
Some people are calling it Cuban Sopranos, too.
But again, it's got that sort of veteran sort of lineage. It's got the Latino aspect, and it's one of the few television offerings that features people of color. It's interesting because it's such a high-profile project, and yet actually the number of Latinos in major characters is actually down this year from last season. What do people think about Kane? Anybody?
I've heard good stuff. And don't sleep. Kane would not exist if it weren't for Ugly Betty. That sort of propelled the pendulum in that direction. And they're like, the Latinos are watching TV. Let's try to push it that way. And it's crossing all color lines. So let's see what happens. I think it's a sexy cast. I think the premise is pretty interesting. We'll see what happens.
Makisha had something to say.
I was just going to say that I liked it. I mean, it's not perfect, but no drama is. And I think, you know, it has a lot going against it, unfortunately, because of the time slot. It's Tuesday nights at 10. CBS has not had great success in that time slot. It's an expensive show to make. Last year when Smith came in and debuted in that time slot, it tanked not because it wasn't a good show. It's just that it's expensive to make a show that looks so cinematic and has such a high-profile, expensive cast. And I hope people give it a chance.
Eric?
I've actually spent some time on the set and some time with the producers and with Jimmy. And
he's in the tank now. Oh, you hear him, Jimmy. It's Jimmy.
That's right. Jimmy.
I'm sorry. Can I just tell you, trivia, Jimmy Smith went to my junior high school.
Wow.
Go Gershwin.
Same time as Jimmy. But I did want to point out that what I like about Kane, besides the fact that I too like the show, although I don't think it really has a snowball's chance. But why is that?
I do too.
I don't think people are going to get it. But what's interesting about this show is that Nina Tassler, the president of entertainment for CBS, self-identifies as a Latina. And the person who created the show, Cynthia Cidre, she immigrated to Miami from Cuba when she was young. And she knows Jimmy Smith because they worked on a film together early in her career. And obviously, Jimmy's Latino, too. So you had a really interesting network of Hispanic showbiz folks who very quietly worked together to make sure that this show would land on the schedule when it did. And you had the same thing with Ugly Betty and Salma Hayek's, you know, involvement. So I think, you know, Hispanic actors and people in the industry have kind of learned how to get key projects onto the network schedule by working together and networking. And if Kane works, and I hope it does, that will just increase that more, and we certainly need more of that.
Forgive me, I just wanted to ask you, you said you don't think people are going to get it. What do you mean you don't think they're
going to
get it?
There's a lot of things going on in this show. Part of it is a family drama. Part of it has elements of a crime drama. The family business is sugarcane, which people are not that familiar with. There's this war in the family between a character who wants the family to concentrate on making rum and Jimmy Smith's character who wants the family to concentrate on making sugarcane to make ethanol to power cars. And one of the things that struck me in talking with Jimmy and Cynthia and some of the other people involved with the show is that they're all struggling with balancing all these storylines and telling people, what is this show about? And when the people who created it have a hard time doing that, I think they're going to have a hard time selling it to an audience.
But you don't think it's because it's fronted by Latino leads?
I think the problem is that people may feel like they've seen it before because there's been a lot of Hispanic family dramas on, you know, PBS tried it and you know, Showtime tried it. But if they watch it, hopefully people will give it a chance.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More. I'm speaking with television critics Eric Deggans, Makisha Madden-Toby, and Tanika Ray about the fall television season. I wanted to ask, what shows do you think the networks should have kept in the vault? And I particularly wanted to ask about Caveman, which is based on a Geico car insurance.
I cannot believe
you're going to make me go there.
Yeah, we're going to make you go get Eric started. But,
no, we have to go there. Let's play a clip.
You know, you can't hide your identity under a hatchel.
I'm not trying to. It's a Western-themed barbecue.
Thank you, Jamie, for dressing up.
Well, I was going to wear this regardless.
Yeah, I always wondered what Reba McEntire would look like if she was a Cro-Magger.
Please don't use that word.
Magnum P.I., macaroni and cheese.
No, keep them coming. Keep
Jerry Maguire.
Ooh, Toby Maguire.
I'm already turning the channel.
Because, like, if you keep talking about it,
I just think it's so stupid. It's so one note. It's just the opposite of what you were saying about Kane, where it's so complicated. This is so one notey. I'm already bored. Okay. I've seen the commercial and I'm already bored.
Well, Eric? It's on against Biggest Loser, so I know you ain't watching it anyway.
No, I'm watching Biggest Loser. I want to see them lose some weight. Let's be real.
Eric, where were you going to go?
I sort of got in trouble because when they had a press conference on this in July, I was a person who asked ABC, is this the sitcom about black people that ABC was too scared to make.
Yes.
Because every joke in it was really a veiled joke about black people. Now,
right. Like what? Which, I haven't, for those of us who haven't seen it.
Sure. Caveman is takes the caveman characters from the Geico ad, insurance ad commercials, and moves them into a series. And so they're Cro-Magnons in the modern world. And, you know, there's rumors that they're sexually very, you know, potent. And we see one of the cavemen, you know, enacting that. There's rumors that they're athletically very advanced. There's rumors that they're stupid intellectually.
Having seen the commercials, which they play constantly, you know, where I live, I thought that the trick of it was that there are these stereotypes that they're pushing against.
Exactly. I mean, that was the thing. The commercials are nothing like the show. I mean, I like the commercials better.
Oh.
Yeah. And they are pushing against the stereotype, but they're also
repeating,
also validating them. Mm. There, you know, there are characters that are shown to be sexually potent. There are characters that are shown to be good at physical activity, like playing horseshoes.
So they're promoting
and
it
dancing,
even though they pretend to be pushing against. Okay, so what did the executive say when you asked the question?
They didn't want to admit.
The
other thing that was obvious was they filmed this pilot very quickly. It came very late in the pilot season. It basically was a deal before it was a show.
Absolutely.
Before it was
a
script.
Always a mistake.
And it was put together mostly by people who didn't know television. It was the people who were involved with the ads. So they brought in some guys who had written for Third Rock from the Sun and In Living Color, and now they're involved, and now the pilot that all the critics saw is supposedly not going to air till the fifth or sixth episode. I'm putting next week's pay down that it never airs because it's
I
so horrible.
Not.
And,
no,
and
they
hopefully
admit it now.
They found a new direction, and the new commercials indicate that.
Interesting.
They admit now that it is about race, though.
They do.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
In what, Tanika, how? In what context did they?
Quote from, who is this? Josh Gordon, executive producer. And making an allegory, quotes, about race relations that stars three cavemen automatically puts it into a stranger category. They're into having people sort of out of their box, and they think that's hilarious.
It's interesting. This whole thing about talking about race but pretending you're not talking about race is something that surfaced, I think, last season during the reality shows. Now, Tanika, I know you're dying to talk about the reality show thing, so let's go there. Reality's been such a big story in television. Is it over, or is it still the big
thing? No, it's like, rap going to be over? It's never going to be over. I think as long as it's interesting and it sort of capitalizes your attention span, I don't have a problem with reality. I know actors do because it takes away from the dramas and the sitcoms on television. But if they make more interesting dramas and sitcoms, then I'd be watching those.
Well, you know, you're missing the main reason why it's popular.
Why?
It's cheap.
It's cheap, honey.
Seriously,
people are getting rich
cheap.
Off of it.
You don't pay.
Sure.
You don't pay writers.
Nope.
If the main characters become popular, they're not actors. They're not going to demand. They don't have agents. They don't have managers.
They don't get paid.
They won't demand huge salaries. And they sign these onerous contracts. They're at least 2 inches thick, in which they indemnify the network, even if they get killed during production.
Hence Kid Nation.
Kid Nation being Makisha Tellis.
Kid Nation is a show where 40 kids are in a western town kind of raising themselves for 40 days and to see if they can
survive.
Create their own government, so to speak. And the kids, their parents sign these crazy, like Eric was saying, these crazy contracts that indemnifies the networks and says basically if your child dies or gets maimed or is like severely burned, or we're not liable. It's on you because you let us have your kid for 40 days.
I love the clause about sexually transmitted disease.
Oh my God, that was so scary.
Ouch.
On Smoking Gun. TheSmokingGun.com has all this stuff like if your child, you know, gets a sexually transmitted disease, if your child gets burned or, you know, I mean, it's just craziness.
Yeah, it is crazy. But let me ask you this. Does anybody think that diversity is part of the reason reality shows are so popular? I'm looking at a piece written by the Associated Press that pointed out that they're really, even though there are these high profile shows like Ugly Betty, that the number of characters of color and gay characters on television really hasn't changed all that much. Whites make up 77% of network series regular characters. I don't know. Does anybody think that reality part of it because it's just for whatever reason is a more diverse environment? Eric,
you want to talk about diversity? It's more the black best friend syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Braxton of the LA Times did a great story about all these shows that basically feature black best friends. And it's particularly a problem for African-American actresses because these are the only roles they can get. And if you look at the two shows that do have minority leads, Kane and K-Ville, they're both males, a Hispanic male and an African-American male. So I think that's the big problem with diversity. Well, Grey's Anatomy has two black best friends. So, Grey's Anatomy is an ensemble cast, but the lead character is Meredith Grey. Private Practice is an ensemble show, but the lead character is Kate Walsh's character, and she's surrounded by, she's got Taye Diggs and she's got Audra McDonald.
Mm-hmm. She's two black best friends.
She got two black best friends. And so there's Chi McBride is on Pushing Daisies. He's a private eye. So, that's the big trend that I've seen in diversity is that characters of color are no longer the lead. They're the best friend or they're the sidekick or they're the supporting actor, and they're not stepping up.
What does that mean? What do you think that means?
The networks think people won't watch actors of color when they're stars of the show.
That's happened forever. As soon as they see a black lead, they think, a white America may think, oh, that's not speaking to me, so we shouldn't turn to that channel. I think it's just playing the game, Shonda Rhimes, with having Ellen Pompeo as the lead, even though she's not clearly the lead when you watch the show. I think it's more ensemble. But I do think you have to play the Hollywood game. And as much as minorities might be a little bit more open-minded to say, oh, it's a white lead character, but there's other minorities in it, I'll watch it. It seems that white America doesn't do the same thing.
No. But what about the reality shows? I mean, people of color have done really well on these shows, whether we like it or some of them I like, some of them I don't particularly love the way the characters, some of these people play as, themselves. Allegedly.
Well, that would technically be an ensemble cast. There's nobody who's in the lead, so it's an organic ensemble cast.
And I'm going to start a little something here and say, again, if you look at the network of Hispanic actors and producers who brought Ugly Betty to the fore and brought Kane to the fore, they did not let white people star in those shows.
That's true.
And so to have black producers bring forth shows that don't star black people, you might want to look at them and sort of say, it is possible. Latinos are doing it.
All right, well, starting something, Eric. Eric Deggans is the TV and media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. He joined us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg. Tanika Ray is a New York correspondent for Extra. She's in Glendale, California. And Makisha Madden-Toby is a television critic for the Detroit News. She joined us from NPR West. Thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Bye.
Bye.